And let's just bow our heads and pray, and we'll get into this section. Lord God, I need your help as always, and I pray that you would speak through me, speak through these words. We would have new and fresh insight that we may take away. It would build our lives upon the rock. Help us to be wise as we go about the things that you have for us to do. In your name, amen. So I'm not sure what it's like for others in this room who drive, but I've become semi-dependent on sat-nav anytime I go somewhere. This would be, you know, either Garmin or, you know, Waze or Google Maps. But especially if I don't know the way, it's become pretty much instrumental. We used it quite a lot when we went down to Cornwall. Who's been to Cornwall in here? It really is interesting. If you take a wrong turn, you end up on a road that is one way with very narrow walls for a long, long time. There's no chance to turn around. And so it was very, very useful. Now I did okay before I had sat-nav, and I've only had it half my driving time. But I usually got there slowly. I sometimes got lost. I had to ask for directions. You guys remember the days of having to ask for directions? Where you would actually, you know, throw your emergencies on and then say, hey, which way? And then they would point you, and then you'd say, well, why doesn't the sign point that direction? And they would say, everybody knows that who's a local here. Yeah, I got where I was going most of the time, but I'm pretty much willing to guarantee that every single person who drives in this room, if you are going to an unfamiliar place and you put a sat-nav in front of you, that it's going to be smoother. You're going to get there quicker. And you won't be as confused. What does that have to do with the Bible? So God wants to be our sat-nav for life. God wants to be our sat-nav for life. Not just difficult questions that we might think are a bit beyond us. And I think that we tend to do our Christian life in this manner. I've got things myself, you know, I got my planning, I got my other stuff, and I don't need your help, I don't need your help, I don't need your help. Whoa, that I don't know what to do with. Okay, now I'll pray, right? So we use God every once in a while when we're beyond ourselves. But no, God wants to be our sat-nav for everything, every question, every action, every moment we breathe, to take him along, and he will illuminate the way for us. Let's read together our short verses. This is Proverbs chapter 3. Let's just turn there. We're going to just read together verse 5 and 6. That's it. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. That's page 637 in the little Bible you received when you came in. Everyone there? Okay, here it is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Only a few of you read that. Let's all read together. Here we are. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. All right, so here's our big idea for this morning. Trust God, follow his ways, he will lead you. Trust God, follow his ways, he will lead you. Let's start by thinking about trusting God over all we see and all we think, our intuition, our own supposed brilliance, if you will. Okay, so the first thing to note here is that we are given a command. Not a suggestion, a command. And the command is to trust. Not to trust a little bit, but to trust a lot with all of your heart, as it were. And so, your heart of hearts, what are you trusting in to make it, to have a future? Is whether that's education, or that's smarts, or that's health, or that's wealth, or that's a job that's secure, or that's friends. These are all temporary. things to put your trust in. And actually, every single one of those is going to go. It's just a matter of time before it does go. It won't last. And I would commend you to trust in what is ultimately trustworthy. Our eternal rock. What will last? You know, we will, who believe in Christ, will live forever. And yet on the other side of eternity, we aren't there, but God is. And everything about him lasts forever. Put your hope in the eternal rock always. Now, this word trust is a rich word, or to rely. And it's a word about warfare. And the idea is that we have things that are against us, things that would destroy us, but we have God for us, and we rely on him. He is in the background. He will help us. He will be our salvation. And it gives an interesting picture for life, that there are things, in fact, that are warring against us, but yet our hope is in the Lord. Now, in the New Testament, this word here is translated 60% of the time, and I think it's a translation, believe in God, have faith in God. And so for those of you who are thinking about Christianity, maybe you're online, and you're just figuring things out, Christianity is not about what we do, it is about faith, trusting in Jesus to do what we cannot do. Faith is the petrol which fuels the Christian life. And that starts with our salvation. We don't earn our salvation, okay? We're sinners. We need a Savior, and Jesus dies the death that we deserve. We trust in him, and we are made right with God through that. But you're not pathetic, and it's not unwarranted as a Christian to say in your life, as you walk through daily, I can't do it on my own. I need your help. God, come and be my salvation freshly in this. That's not only not strange, it's commended to us that as you go through your life, that you would be silently breathing out your desperation to God and saying, save me, help me in this moment. Even if we imagine, and we often do, that we have it all in hand, don't we? We're actually desperate. And we trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. We trust in the Lord with all our hearts, and we lean not on our own understanding. We don't lean on our own understanding. That kind of hurts a little bit, actually. I think we probably in this room celebrate planning, celebrate thinking things through, celebrate gaining wisdom. And so what is he doing here saying, you know, don't lean on your own understanding? Isn't your own understanding good? And the important thing to realize is that the idea here is that this is just kind of the human perspective. You're just sticking with merely my own thinking, my own thought processing. I'm not going to go beyond that to the things of God at all. I'm not going to look at his side of things. And we really ought to be skeptical of our own thinking. Have you ever thought to yourself, you know, half the things I'm actually saying, I'm not sure I should actually be saying those things. Half the things I'm thinking, should I be thinking them? With the advent of AI, I don't know if anybody else has noticed this, but it's hard to tell what is real anymore. You're going through like Instagram and you're like, is this a real person or is this something else? You see an event and you go, did that really happen or did they just enter that into a prompt on ChatGPT and out it came? And I think that that's actually good for us. Because it teaches us to question all that we see and all that we think and say, what is really behind that? What is the reality? I don't want to lean into what is not going to help. You guys ever come up and leaned against a wall or sat on something and you just feel it start to give way? And it was not worthy of you putting your pressure on it. That's the word here. Don't lean on your own understanding. It's not going to work out. What does Scripture say? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. It doesn't say somebody else's heart is desperately sick. It says your heart, all hearts are deceitful, desperately sick. Who can understand it? Only God. That's what it says in the next verse. I, the Lord, know the heart. I test the heart. And so we have this picture of people who can be really smart and extremely stupid at the same time. So just as an illustration, there's physics professors, and they are into something called string theory. Who's heard of this, string theory? Anyone in this room? It involves intense mathematics, and it is completely make-believe. There's not one shred of evidence for any of it. And yet people have gone crazy on this. And why do they do that? Because the heart is deceitful, and they would rather not believe in God. And I need this thing in order to get away from believing in him. And so we see, just from this human perspective, we're bound to fall. We can be the smartest person in the room and yet be foolish. Anyone ever heard the expression, you can't teach a smart person anything? Why is that? Because the heart is deceitful. Don't lean on that. It won't work. Now, this is really important. Because our heart is deceitful, because our wisdom only takes us so far, because we're bound to get stuck in the loop of our own thinking, we need to put all of our faith in God and what he says, and even over our observation. Even over our intuition, we say, no, I think one way, but you know what I'm seeing over here? God says this, and I'm gonna rely on him. He's right, even though it doesn't seem he's right. That's correct, even though it doesn't seem correct. And that's a position of humility. It's quite regular for people to go to church and to speak with them, and after church they will say, well, I like this bit of Christianity, I like that bit of Christianity. This part is wrong, and I know it. Right? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Put all of your hope in him, even above your own thinking and your own tastes and your own background that you've come to see as truth. Trust God. Follow his ways. He will lead you through. Second thing to consider this morning, knowing God in our actions. Knowing God in our actions. So next part, in all your ways, submit to him. In all your ways, submit to him. Well, that's interesting. Actually, in the original language, it says something like this. In all your ways, know him. Know him in all your ways. And that, you know, some of our translators say acknowledge, and I think it's because it's kind of clunky to tell somebody to know God in your ways. So they're trying to give off the idea. But what's going on here is that this word know is not facts. It's not like a quiz night where it's random, trivial bits about God. You know, and if you can remember just minutia detail, that's what we're to know. This is a relational word. And so when people put their trust in God, what God does is that he establishes a relationship with them, and he dwells with them. And they know him in a, like, you're my closest friend sort of way. And God wants that close relationship that he has with you then to transfer into all that you say and all that you do. That beautiful relationship, that deep knowing, to live your lives out of the knowledge of your connection to the Lord. Now, on TV, there's these comedy routines where they put an earphone, an earpiece in somebody's ear, very small, can't really see it. And then in another room, a friend is sitting there, and he tells the person where to go and what to do. And then he makes them do stupid things, like go and order a coffee and then just keep going up to the person and saying you did it wrong. And then they just laugh, and they laugh. And then, you know, whoever's working the coffee is like, what is wrong with you, you know? And it's all funny, okay? Get this idea, though. God is given us, there is an earpiece in our ear. And he is now speaking to us, and he is saying, no, go and do this and do the other thing. Not for a joke, but to build the kingdom. Know God in all your ways. And so actually, if we're going to do this, we need to know God's way and what he's like and have that deep relationship. So let's start with what is God like? And we have this universal rule, right? The commands of the Bible: love God with all of your being and love your neighbor as yourself. And so this is a pattern that we can take into our everything that we do. When we talk with people, where's the focus? It's on loving them, and it's on loving God, and it's not on us. You know what we tend to think about when we go about making decisions? All the time, what's the first thing? What is best for me? What does God say? What is best for everyone else? Well, that is powerful. And we can ask, as we do everything that we do, am I loving people through what I'm choosing to do, through what I'm trying to say? Any behavior that you have that only makes you happy is not worth your time. But knowing God goes far deeper than just let's be loving to each other, okay? Here's a way to illustrate this idea. Imagine that you're an actor and you want to play somebody famous, okay? A very famous person. What do? You read up on everything they did. You try to hear their voice. You try to see if there's any videos of this person and how they behaved. And you begin to even say, I just want to think like them. I want to enter their world and think as they think. And so in order for us to walk the right path, we need to pick up this book and soak it in. Because this book, it's about us. It's about how God saves us. But it's really about God. The whole thing is about God, and his character is revealed. And as we read of the revelation of God, then we know what we go and we do. Then we know our path. And so you really need to read this book, don't you? And not just to read it, but to read it with an eye to say, what is God revealing about himself? And what does this mean for how I speak with others? It's not mindless facts. It's conversation with God that translates into conversation with others and action. What does that look like practically? As you walk through life, each moment you ask the question, what is God doing here in this? And what is his will? And how can I then, and I will in fact obey? I will obey. And he wants you to do this all the time. 24/7. Now, if we trust him with all of our hearts, in all our ways we know him, he will make our path straight. And so our part is obedience, but his part is the result. We obey him, and then he uses that, he molds us, and he also guides us, and then we become what we ought to become. It's in his hands, but we can trust him as we surrender to his ways. And when it says here, your paths will be straight. Part of that is you will walk the path that leads to eternal life. Just what we read from Matthew, where it said, narrow is the way that leads to life. Okay? But it's also that he changes us and that we do what is morally correct. The word straight there, it's the word for a life that is lived right. And so you cannot walk the right kind of life without God's help. And it comes as you surrender to him. Trust God, follow his ways, he will lead you through. Okay, so what do we do with today's message? I've got three things. The first is the determination that I will know God deeply. You know what we're doing here right now? We're having a tiny little meal. That's what we're having. We're having a tiny little meal. And it's a couple words of God's scripture. That's it, just a couple words. And then I hopefully explain things in a way that make you think about them. Sometimes I do an okay job, sometimes I don't. But nevertheless, you get a little bit of God's word and some application, and off you go. How many times do we eat a week? How many times? Well, 7 times 3 and snacks. Well, you've got one of your, daily 5 or something, right? One. Go and eat something else later today. Am I done with God's word today? Everyone say it with me. No! Am I expected to grow you into mature people just on 25 minutes? No! This is a starter. You continue to develop, and it is up to you to read, and it is up to you, but it's boring, you say. Well, I'll help you with that. But it's a difficult language, you say, but it grows on you. You'll figure it out over time. You cannot grow and really know who God is if you don't read this. And if you don't know who God is, you don't know what you need to do. Do you? Never mind that you're not having any relationship with God. It's missing out on your best friend. Okay, so let us determine to be in God's word, shall we? Okay, second thing. Everybody's seen the picture of like the devil's on your shoulder, right? And then there's an angel on your shoulder and the devil's like, go do bad things, right? And everybody always wants to listen to the devil. And then the angel's like, no, that would hurt people. The angel never has anything good to offer, by the way. When the angel's on your shoulder, it never says anything that's worth hearing. You know, everybody always listens to the devil, although that does sound good. Thank you. Right? You know, there is no devil on our shoulder. God does allow Satan every once in a while to kind of give us a thought or two that's not from us. Okay? We keep our eyes on that. When we hear a voice that is not distinctly ours, it sounds like something we wouldn't say. Hey, wait a minute. That's interesting. But you know, for the most part, what God wants is Jesus whispering in your ear as you go about your life. Do this. Show love there. Go that direction. And this is like a daily pattern. It is a moment by moment pattern. The very best days that you can have is where you walk and you say, you know what, today I'm going to serve and I'm going to be listening to Christ tell me to show love and to go and to do things and to fill other people with joy and to consider them. I mean, your life will transform amazingly if you just decide, today, I'm going to listen to Jesus and do what he says all day. And as you catch yourself in a conversation and there's a lull and you're thinking about how you can talk again, instead of thinking that, remind yourself, hey, wait a minute. I'm on mission. Jesus is here. He has a desire for them. And for others, what can I do to take them to the next step? I like doing this, and I think this is a worthy thing to do, by the way. When you have a conversation with somebody, before you have the conversation, think, what will benefit them out of this conversation? Okay? And go into that trying to help them get there. Go into that trying to help them to be built up. And be careful about how you can waste time on yourself, right? Do fun things, but do it with others. Do it with others. Have nice food. Share it with others, right? Make sure that there is a blessing from the Lord within it. Third thing for you. There's a good rubric for making decisions here, okay? Some of us in this room, I'm in this category, are what I would call sign seekers. Do we have any sign seekers in here? Okay, you'll know if you're a sign seeker. Here, I'll just tell you. You're like, I don't know what to do. God, give me a sign. Okay, anybody done this? God, give me the sign. If such and such calls me today, or if this thing happens, or that thing happens, or if you don't want me to do it, just stop me. This sort of thing where you start to say to God, you know, I'm not going to read your book. I just want you to give me a message from above right now through this thing or that thing of my choosing. That sounds kind of sketchy, doesn't it? I mean, if somebody told you that they were going to make their decisions on a form like that, you'd say, you know, I don't know. Maybe you just want to think things through. But actually, let me give you something even better than that. Yes, think things through. But here's the specific thing to think through. Which one honors God the most in thy decision? Which one honors God the most? Look at it and say, what is the end result of this thing? Sometimes we have goals, and the end result of the goal is that everybody pats us on the back and says, you are so amazing. Okay, well, that does not honor God. Don't do that if that's the reason for doing it. Which one honors God? Trust in the Lord, submit entirely to him. Now, what if you say, I don't know, actually, they both seem to honor God. Now, make sure that they both are not neutral, like they don't do anything for God, and you're just doing this for yourself, okay? But if you have something where you're like, yes, this one would honor God, and this one would honor God quite a lot, and I'm really confused. Well, in a case where you have that, I would just suggest either one you can do according to your liking. Go ahead. If God doesn't want you to do it, he'll throw up a huge roadblock. It'll be all right. Yeah? Three things to think about. What were they? Get into God's word. Keep talking with him. You cannot live the right kind of life without it. Second one. Everybody remember what the second one is? Are you with me? I'm checking. I'm going back and look at my notes. Devil on the shoulder. Angel. No, it's just Jesus. Keep listening to him throughout your life, throughout every decision you make. Third one. Rubric for decision making. Live for God's glory. Let's pray, and you can talk about one of those with the Lord, or maybe all of them. I don't know. Let's just bow our heads and pray. Lord, thank you for your word. We pray that we would trust in you with all of our hearts. We would not lean on our own understandings. In all our ways, we'd acknowledge you, and you will make our paths straight. In all our ways, we would know you, and you would make our paths straight. So I do pray, Lord, that there would be, coming out of this lesson, more trust in you and more obedience as we walk through life. And you would determine to help us to walk each step that we walk on this journey by the light of Christ. And now in the quietness of heart and mind, maybe you just share something with the Lord that he's spoken to you.